in on KBUR News Radio, 99.3 FM and 1490 AM from First Christian Church of Burlington, Iowa. We hope that this week's message helps you grow in your faith and share God's love.
Welcome to First Christian Church. We're so glad that you've chosen here to worship with us today. We're so glad that you're inside the sanctuary. It's great to see you all. We have missed your bright and shining, smiling faces over your mask. And so it's been lonely preaching to empty pews and singing empty pews over these past few months. And so we're so glad that you're here with us in person today. We're grateful to have our friends who are joining us virtually online today as well. We welcome you as you're joining in the conversation through our Facebook page. It's great to see you all greeting each other and saying good morning. We welcome our friends who are going through our church website as well. As we gather on this Sunday morning in many and various ways, not just here in the sanctuary in Burlington, but with friends online and virtually from Missouri and Texas and Illinois and Florida and so many more places, it is good to be together, and we pray and we hope that this time that we've set aside will fill us and will bless us and renew us all in our own walk with Christ and our own journey of faith. As we gather for worship, we especially welcome you if this is your first time with us in person or online. Little note about our worship service. You see that we have communion up here in the very front. You see near the bottom of your bulletin. We have communion every single time that we gather for worship. And so if you're here in person, we hope that you picked up one of our little communion kits on the way in the door. If you're with us at home, we hope that you'll have ready there bread and juice and grapes and crackers and coffee. Whatever it is good enough for Christ to bless and use and fill us in our own walk with Him. Pastors Brooke and Justin are away on vacation this week, and so we're glad to have Annika McVeigh here for our children's moments. And so we look forward to our children's moment later on in our worship service. As a reminder, because it's been a number of months since we've had people inside the sanctuary, during these pandemic days, we ask that we keep our singing droplets under our breath so that we're not sharing our aerosol droplets in and among here in the sanctuary. And so we can make a joyful noise quietly these days, but it'll be good enough for the Lord God to hear. Here, as we've resumed in-person worship in some of our gatherings, Sunday school has started again. Along with this, children's church will take place today, and so if there's kids who wants to go to children's church, they can leave after the children's moment and go down the hallway to one of our classrooms. And so if you'd like to go, there is space for you here today. Looking ahead this week, if you're in the sanctuary, you see on the back of your bulletin things that are happening in the life of our church. There's pastor's Bible studies in three different spaces. There's also Bible and Brew at Bent River downtown on Tuesday nights. There are classes on Mondays and on Thursdays as well, and so there's lots of places for you to grow in your faith that meet both online, on Zoom, and on Facebook Live, and also here in person. We're especially looking forward to pastor's class starting at the end of February, and so if there's a fifth grader in your life who'd like to learn more about what it means to be a follower of Christ or be baptized, reach out to us, and so we'd love to include them in this year's class that will be starting in about a month's time. Seems like we just had Christmas, but things go fast in the life of the church that it'll be time for pastor's class and Lent and Easter before we know it. It is great to be together as a church family here virtually and also in person. Let's stand for opening song together. Let us pray. But loving and gracious God, we ask and we pray that you would change our life. Make our ways more like your ways, O God. Make our thoughts and actions more like yours. Help us to follow Jesus Christ, O God, in all that we do. Fill us and bless us in this time of worship. Be with us here so that we can leave here renewed and ready to follow. In Christ we pray. Amen. Here in the midst of worship, we pause in the midst of our praise and our prayers to offer our prayers as a community of faith, both here in person and also virtually, over to God. And so, in that spirit, let us pray together. O gracious and loving God, we come to you with hearts that need to be opened to your word and your love. We come into your presence bringing all that we have and all that we are. We come here in this sanctuary that we have not stepped foot inside for months. We come to you from the comfort of our home, on our couch and easy chair, even in our bed. We come before you during this pandemic, even in our car, on these cold and snowy days. We worship you and we see the face of Christ on those that we wave to and pass in the parking lot. All of these are so strange and odd in these pandemic Sundays. But even though they are strange, we have been reminded that there is no place where we can go where you are not. You are there in every building and home and school and gathering. You are there. For that, we give you thanks and praise. Your presence has sustained us, lifted us, and kept us together. And so here this morning, when we acknowledge that there is so much around us that tears at us and causes us to tremble, keep us ever mindful of your presence and the hope that you've given us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Guide us, we pray, as your church, as we share the good news of Christ together. Keep us focused on the mission and ministry to which you have called us, and lead us ever forward. For we know, O Lord, that there are bumps and holes in the road along the way, and so save us from dwelling on them and making us secure in the goals you have placed before us. Hear our prayers for all those who need your love in their lives today. Be with those that we've named before you, and those who are only known by you in the depth of our heart. Be with all those who mourn and those who weep this morning. May we all remember your love and grace that your faithful people bring to our world. And we pray, O loving God, for all of your creation, even though it is always at odds with each other. Guide our leaders and those of other nations that this world may truly be as you created it to be, a world of peace and hope and love. We give you thanks for your presence within our country this past week and for the peaceful transfer of power. We pray that we all may keep our eyes fixed upon you, looking to you as our guide, for you are our strength, you are our comforter, and it's in you only that we place our hope and trust. These are our prayers, O God, together with those that we lie on our hearts. We offer them to you in the spirit of Jesus Christ, who said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And so hear us as we join our voices together now by praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We're continuing today with our sermon series called Overwhelmed with Joy. We've been hearing these scriptures throughout this series of people having very first experiences with Jesus Christ and being overwhelmed with a sense of God's presence. And so we hear the reading today from the Gospel according to Mark in chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. May the Spirit of God be upon us as we hear God's word read in the midst of worship this morning. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for it. You know the scene because it has all happened to us. You know the scene because it's happened to us on any ordinary, plain old Saturday night. The dinner on the menu for this night is leftovers. And not like the good kind of leftovers, not like lasagna on the second day or warmed up pizza or even chili that sometimes is even better after 2 or 3 days. But on this night, it is the kind of leftovers that you are forcing yourself to eat. You tell yourself that old tired line that there are starving children someplace in Africa who would love this very meal, and so you cannot bear to throw it in the trash. This ham from 4 days ago, the last bits of the meatloaf, the soup that's never quite as good the second go-round as it was the first time. But it is here before you today, and so you're doing your best to be excited and happy for your family as this is what's planned for the night. And so you're about to sit down. And as you're just about to put your napkin on your lap, your best friends call, your very best friends in the whole entire universe, they call and they want to know if you want to go get a pizza. And before you can have a second thought, before you can talk to your family and take a poll, the word is a resounding yes. Please God, yes, can we go have pizza tonight? Yes, it is much better than all these microwave leftovers that though there are children hungry and starving faraway places, we would invite them to come if they were here at our house with us. In those pre-pandemic days, you didn't have to figure out social distancing logistics. There was no family discussion about where you were going to sit or planning. When the question came, do you want to have pizza instead of leftovers? You would drop your fork, leave your napkin on the floor, and head out the door and go. There was no doubt, no question, and no hesitation at all. You would just go. This is what it's like. It's what it must have been like there by that Sea of Galilee. It must have been that quick. Do you want to go? Yes. And they went. You see, we heard the story today. We heard part of it last week. If you were with us online or at drive-in, the story continues today. Jesus is calling some of his first disciples. Last week it was Philip and Nathanael. Today it's Peter and Andrew, James and John. The gospel writer said that Jesus was just now coming onto the scene, out proclaiming the good news of God's love, teaching and preaching and leading people in the ways of God Almighty. And while he's walking along the seashore, the Bible says, he sees Simon, who's sometimes called Peter, sometimes called Simon Peter, but he's there with his brother Andrew. They were fishermen fishing for a living, but Jesus comes up and says, follow me and I'll make you now fish for people. And so what happens is what happens to us on a Saturday night when our best friends call. Immediately they drop their nets. Immediately they go to follow. They didn't mull it over. They didn't look at their calendar. When the call of Christ came, they were there. The same thing happens, we know, farther down that old beach. For we see James and his brother John there in a boat mending their nets. And the story says that their dad Zebedee is there in the boat along with some hired hands in the boat together. And again the call comes. Jesus comes up and says, follow me. And what do? But they drop their nets and they begin to follow Jesus. And I always love this part of the story there with those guys there in the boat. I mean, can't you just picture them like putting one foot out and then the other trying wading through the water that is knee deep, doing their best not to run so fast that they fall face first into the water, but run as fast as they can through the water to meet Jesus. And as they're going up, splashing and hollering to follow, there in the boat is their poor dad, Zebedee. And I'm sure he didn't know what in the world to make of this situation. I mean, we know the geography that Galilee isn't that big of an area, and they'd probably heard of Jesus or maybe saw him speak a few times. But now James and John are leaving behind their family and their livelihood. They're leaving behind their dad in the boat. And he's like, who am I, boys? What am I, chopped liver? What am I, leftovers or something? What am I doing sitting here while you're going now to follow Jesus? You can see the look of astonishment on his face as clearly as you see the look of joy on James and John. There must have been something about Jesus. There must have been something for them to drop their nets and leave their family and life behind. They didn't even think twice. They were gone immediately. Now in the church, we've always lifted up these kinds of conversions and stories of faith. We've always marveled at Peter and Andrew and James and John. I mean, they didn't go home to check in. I mean, the conversion wasn't like, you know, honey, I'm thinking about quitting my job and leaving you behind for a few years. And I'm thinking about just going to follow Jesus. You're going to have to fend for yourself. Best of luck. There doesn't seem to be any of that. In fact, in the Bible study that we were talking about this passage last week, as we were talking about these first disciples leaving, they may have been gone for a year or maybe 2 years, maybe up to 4 years. 4 years gone from their family. I mean, maybe they stopped in every once in a while. There are stories in the Bible of Jesus and the disciples going to their homes. And you can imagine them calling, saying, hey, honey, I'm bringing Jesus and the guys home for dinner. I hope it's good tonight. We've always marveled at the faith of their willingness to drop everything and just go. And as a church, we've even said this is how it is sometimes. Sometimes we have things written on our heart by God Almighty that we know we're supposed to do. Words we are supposed to say. That there's this ticking inside of us. And so we don't even think twice. We drop our nets and we walk by faith. This is how it is sometimes. Once we come to Christ, we never look back. But in reading this story this week, in mulling over how it speaks to us today, I've got to confess that I've always been wondering about the dad Zebedee. I've always felt bad for him, in fact. I mean, he gets left there in the boat to kind of fend for himself while the boys go and follow Jesus. In fact, if you do some digging around your Bible, in fact, if you actually Google Zebedee on Google or someplace, you will see that he's not listed anywhere else in the Bible except in this story. Only when James and John are called to follow Jesus does he show up. We have no idea about other family, about kids, about his spouse, about anything else, not even his reaction. This is only his story here. It gets left untold. And maybe that's on purpose. I mean, maybe the dad, Zebedee, has a lesson to teach us. Because he is some of us. Some of us we know are quick to follow Christ. When the invitation hymn comes, we walk down the center aisle with confidence that whenever we were in pastor's class or confirmation or whatever our tradition was, When the kids in our grade learned about baptism and following Jesus, we made our confession, yes, with strong faith in all that we had. We haven't wavered since. We dropped our nets and we followed Christ. But others of us are slower to come around. Faith is a bit harder and we're not so quick to believe. For some of us, we have a hard time finding and hanging on to faith because of all that life has brought us. We've had too many things go against us. Too many questions have left us wondering, where could God be in this awful situation? Amen. We have questions and we have doubts. And when Jesus comes walking down the lakeshore and invites us to follow, we're like, can I get back to you? And the thing is, that's okay. It really is okay, because everyone has their own faith journey and their own story and walk. And it really is okay, because the thing is, God's grace is always an open door. Whenever and however we decide to start looking for God's love, God is always there to welcome us home. Like the call that comes to us on a Saturday night when we begin to turn our life over to Jesus, when we decide to live for others, not just for ourselves, when we decide to say that there's time for a change because there's time for more of God. The good news is that God drops whatever he is doing and runs to welcome us home. God's grace is always good and his love is always open, because his forgiveness is always ready and his peace is always surpassing all of our knowledge. It does not matter how long it takes or when we come, if we're jumping at the chance like Peter and Andrew, or we hang back like Zebedee, we are always welcome. We're always welcome home in God's love. Thanks be to God. Amen.